Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and I would invite you to open your Bibles there tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we're going to pick up where we left off this morning. As we're learning about God's provision in a perverse world, we spent quite a bit of time talking about that perverse world, about how we see the poor oppressed, and it ought not to be so from God's people. We saw that judgment and justice are perverted. We see that in the world today justice is turned away backwards. It's turned upside down in the street, and we want to make sure that we are settled on the truth of the Word of God. We saw that men love money more than they love their soul, and we spent quite a bit of time talking about that. But we understand that one day justice will be served in the world, and we see that's part of the provision of God, and we just kind of got started into God's provision as we saw that God provides the oversight over the things of the world. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to look to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We'll just read one verse to get going tonight, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come and sing your praises, to have the preaching of your holy word. And I pray your Holy Spirit would move in this place tonight. Pray that you'd speak through me and help me, Lord, for I am nothing without you. I pray, Lord, you put a hedge of protection about this place, that your word and your spirit would work its way in every heart. Pray for anyone hearing this message that's never been born again, that tonight they would repent and believe the gospel. For those that are saved but have never followed you in baptism, that they'll identify publicly with Christ and be baptized, serve you in the local church. Lord, help this church to be what you want us to be. To love you with all our heart, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to carry out the commission that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for watching over this world and the affairs of this life. And Lord, that we can know that even if things seem to be completely out of control and chaotic, that you are in control and you will be the final judge of all things. We pray all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. As we consider God's provision, you remember this morning we looked to Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." We may not see much justice and judgment in the world today. We may see a lot of chaos and confusion. But listen, friends, God is sovereign, God is in control, and Jesus is coming soon. Amen. He's going to rule and reign. He's going to raise up the branch of Jesse, the branch of David, and he will rule and reign. He has the oversight over everything. He that is higher than the highest regardeth. We saw that Jesus and God are lifted up above all things. I want to remind you of what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, if you'd look at that with me. And in Daniel chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, I want to be careful and read this because not so long ago I was preaching about the fiery furnace and I got the wrong Hebrew child in there for the whole message. But it was okay because several of you were very anxious to let me know that I got that wrong. Daniel 3:26 says, "Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now listen, Nebuchadnezzar was a mess, and I don't know that he ever fully let go of the other gods or the possibility for other gods, but he got it right this time, that there was the Most High God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he did it by his angel. And if you're like me, you believe that that fourth one in the fire was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus. Some would argue that it wasn't Jesus, but it was just an angel. But either way, God was watching out for them. God sees everything. Proverbs 15:13 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And friends, God is in control, and God's watching over the affairs of this world. And a lot of people are confused. If God's so loving and God's so kind, why does he allow all of this madness to happen in the world? And the reason is because of sin. It's not God that's caused this wickedness in the world today. It's us. We've done it. Well, God, why does God allow that? Well, friends, God gives everybody free will. You want God to take away somebody else's free will to rob you or to burn down your place of business, but you want to keep your free will to lie or to gossip or to blaspheme or to lust or whatever it may be. We want to hold on to our free will, and we want God to take away other people's free will, and it doesn't work that way. God allows everyone to have their free will, but does that mean they're going to get away with it? Absolutely not. Do you think you are going to get away with it? You think I'm going to get away with it? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption, decay. But if you reap to the, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. By having the Spirit, being sealed by the Spirit through faith in Christ, by walking in the Spirit and having the fruit of the Spirit in your life, bringing other people to faith in Christ, you see that fruit. God is watching over the affairs of this world. He provides oversight and he provides protection. I want you to notice in verse 8, he that is higher than the highest regardeth. And then we see this phrase in Ecclesiastes 5:8. At the end of the verse, he says, "And there be higher than they." There be higher than they. A lot of people have different ideas concerning this verse. And as always, I don't want you to take my word for it. I think you ought to study the word for yourself. But I want to tell you what I believe this is a reference to. I believe this is a reference to the angels. Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." You see, there are people who are in control and in power and authority on this earth, but listen, they're not the highest power. God is above all things, but God has even set those who have greater power above the rulers of this world. Above those who are perverting justice and judgment in the provinces, there are those who have power, and God has his holy angels to do his bidding on this earth. Now, I want you to look again at to the Old Testament for another example, 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Can I remind you tonight that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood today? Amen. At church camp, at teen camp this week, Brother Matt Raines preached, and he talked about the battles that we face in life, and our battles, are the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Amen. They're pulling down strongholds. It's not a physical warfare that we have. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but there are principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places that we wrestle against. And praise God, we don't fight this fight alone. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. "Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." Now, some of you might remember that the king of Syria was trying to catch Elisha, and God would tell him what the king of Syria was up to, and every time he would think he could catch him, Elisha could get away. It was so bad, the king thought that he had a spy in his inner circle. He thought somebody was telling Elisha what was up, and they said, no, 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 he's the prophet of God. God's the one telling him. Amen. And now they caught him. They send all their horses and chariots. They surround the city, and he thinks, I finally got him. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Listen, if you've been on the run from a foreign hostile nation and you've been trying to hide from them, and you wake up in the morning and you go outside and their whole army is surrounding the town that you're in, would you be a little afraid? Well, I know this is kind of ridiculous, but just pretend with me for a second, okay? If you leave the building tonight, and we walk outside, and the Chinese army has surrounded Muldrow. Nobody? Y'all just like, ain't happening. They ain't coming here. I told you, use your little imagination. Put your little imagination hat on. Just imagine, because that's what we're talking about. Like, this is a foreign power. This is one of the most powerful nations on the planet. And one of the king's sole purposes is to find Elisha and kill him. And you get up and their whole army is surrounding you. Now, Elisha's servant was terrified. But Elisha, not so much. Verse 16, he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Amen. Now, you wake up, it's just you and Elisha. You got no army. You don't even have armed guards. You don't even have some really cool monks with some staffs and some bad skills. You got you and the preacher. Now, I'm just telling you that most of you in this church, you wouldn't want to walk down bad parts of towns of Fort Smith if it was just me and you. Amen. God bless you, brother. Like, listen, I'm going to need somebody else besides a preacher with me to feel secure. Right? But listen, Elisha says, don't be afraid. We got more on our side than they got on their side. And the servant goes, oh, now he's lost his mind. He's done gone crazy. You see, when you're only focused on the physical, listen to me, you have every reason to be afraid. But God's at work. Amen. He's at work in ways that we can't begin to understand. And I love it when God gives us these little glimpses into the spiritual realm to see these things. And Elisha prayed in verse 17 and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You think the servant, the young man, might have felt better automatically? All of a sudden, things are looking a little brighter. Amen. You know what we need, friends? We need God to open our eyes. Amen. We need to open our eyes and understand that God is protecting us. God is watching over us. And it doesn't mean we're not going to face trouble. It doesn't mean the enemy's not going to come. It doesn't mean you're never going to get sick and you're never going to get tired and you're never going to get hurt and you're never going to have problems. It just means that in the midst of all of that, God is with you. Amen. And he's watching over you. And he's got angels that you can't see, and they're there to protect you. And God is for you. Amen. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You remember the rest of the account, right? See, it's a good thing Elisha's not like all y'all. Because Elisha doesn't say, Lord, kill them all. He doesn't do that. He doesn't call down fire from heaven or any of that. But he does pray that God will make them blind, and God makes them all blind. And he says, hey, the guy you're looking for is not here.
Follow me. And they do. Isn't that good? Takes him back home, and the king says, what'll I do? What'll I do? He says, feed him and let him go. Take care of him and send him home. Man, what a heart Elisha had. What incredible faith he had. And what a love for the enemy he had. You see, loving your enemies is not a new thing. God has always called his enemies, his people, to love their enemies. God has always called his people to love their enemies. God provides oversight. He provides protection. He provides our needs. He provides our needs. Through the passage that we read this morning, you'll see things like this. The profit of the earth is for all. The king, he eats of the field, right? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. We talked about that this morning, that it's good to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all our labor which God giveth. We see at the end of the passage that God gives to the rich. In verse 19, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. You see, when you acknowledge God in all your ways, God will bless you. And when he gives you an abundance, you get to enjoy that. That's a gift from God. We need to understand that all of our needs are supplied not by the sweat of our brow, but by our Savior in heaven. Amen. It's God who provides every good thing. Amen. And when you have that perspective, you get to enjoy it. When you think it's up to you and you've got to earn it and you've got to do it and you've got to make it happen, you're not going to have any joy associated with the things God gives you. Amen. But when you receive it with thanksgiving, it comes with great joy. There's not a person in this room tonight, and there's certainly not a person watching online tonight, that God hasn't given more than you need. We all have far more than we need. And I'm here to remind you tonight that what you have above and beyond your needs is the gift of God, and you ought to enjoy it with a heart of thanksgiving. Amen. You ever get worried about your finances? Amen. Yeah. Ever get worried about paying the bills? Yeah. Making ends meet? I've seen families who struggle, live paycheck to paycheck. You say that was living hand to mouth. Because what does that mean? It means whatever you get in your hand, you need it now. Some of you can remember times like that. Some of you may be going through times like that. Some of you have no idea what it would be like to experience something like that. That'd be me. God has blessed me tremendously in my life. But I want you to know that God will take care of his people. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous begging for bread, and God is always going to provide for your needs. He's going to see to it that you get what you need. Amen. But as Americans, we get a little confused between the definition of needs and wants. Amen. We got to check ourselves, don't we? Most of us in the room today think that we need a cell phone. How many of you can remember a time where there was no such thing as a cell phone? Amen. Remember a time when very few people had them and they were always attached to the car? Remember that? Amen. First cell phone my dad had was bolted to the truck. And when the phone rang, the horn honked. We didn't call them mobile phones. We called it a car phone. Yeah, anybody remember that? Then we got them out of the car, and they still weighed 15 pounds. These massive things. Looked like a military person in the field with the radio. And now the majority of the people in the room, we have them, and they've come so far, and we feel like we can't live without them. We get confused about our needs. Amen.
But God will provide our needs. God provides oversight. He provides protection. He provides needs, and he provides joy. I want you to look at the last verse in our text, verse 20. He's talking about that one who God's blessed, who gets to enjoy what God has provided. In verse 20, he says, "For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart." I don't care how much money you have, how wealthy you are, you're going to have problems in life. Amen. Job was a very wealthy man. He lost everything, and then God gave him more than he ever had before. But Job understood that man's life is few days. It's a few days, and it's full of trouble. Amen. And yet Job was able to have joy in his soul because he knew who his Redeemer was. Amen. And listen, when this body's ate up by the worms, I know that in my flesh shall I see God. Amen. My Redeemer's going to stand in the last day. And listen, it's not about the wealth that you have. It's not about the money you have. It's not about life. It's not about these things. Amen. It is about eternity. Amen. I know my Redeemer lives. I'm not sure that I have a complete understanding of verse 20, but I'll give you this. He shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. You see, the joy that God gives you in your heart can overcome all of the sorrows of this life. Amen. I have seen people and talked to people and heard testimony of people who have gone through unimaginable suffering. Things that you and I as Americans can't begin to comprehend. And yet they had joy unspeakable. Amen. And full of glory. Amen. Tortured for their faith in Christ. Unimaginable things have happened to them and to their family members, and yet they have joy in their soul. How is that possible? Because God has answered them in the joy of their heart. Amen. They're not going to remember the trials and the struggles and the difficulties because of the joy that God has given. I want you to look with me to John chapter 16, verses 20 to 24. John 16, verse 20. "Verily, verily, Jesus says, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Amen. Then he gives an illustration. "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." Get it? Listen, the world is going to bring a lot of sorrow. And when we look at the world and all of their wickedness, so many times they're rejoicing in their wickedness. This week at camp, we looked a little bit at Psalm 73, and you ought to study that out, because it's hard for us to understand sometimes. How is it that people are doing so wrong, seem to be doing so well? Well, it's because we're not looking at the here and now, we're looking at the end. It may seem that they're doing really great now, but when the judgment day comes, they're not going to be doing very good at all. Amen. And they're not going to be doing good at all forever. So you live for Jesus now and you suffer a little while, but he's going to turn our sorrow into joy. Amen. And he gives the example of the woman having a child. Now, there's not a man on the planet that can begin to understand what it would be like to give birth to a child. Sometimes we watch Bringing Up Bates at home. Anybody ever seen that show? A couple of you have? All right. Well, those people got like 20 kids, and now their kids are having kids. And so some of those fellas going through the birthing classes with their wives, and some, I'm just going to say, some really, really wrong person, and it had to have been a woman, just saying, came up with a device, an electrical device that a man hooks up to his belly, and it's supposed to simulate labor pains. You guys know what I'm talking about? And these fellas are dumb enough to put that thing on. Listen, y'all can be tough if you want to. I'm just going to go ahead and bow out. Say, listen, women, God called women to give birth, and a man doesn't need to know how that feels. He just needs to love that woman and let her squeeze his hand until it breaks. Amen. That's what it takes. Right? But those boys had that thing on, and they kept turning it up, turning it up, turning it up. And I'm not going to lie, I laughed until I cried. But I'm just going to guess that just a little bit of time that those boys made it before they ripped that thing off is not really to be compared with what it would actually be like. You're welcome, ladies. I'm just telling you. But I do know this, on the authority of the Word of God, that all of that travail, all of that anguish, all of that pain, all of that difficulty vanishes away when that baby is laid right here on mama. Am I wrong? This life is like the travail of bringing a child into the world. It's going to be times of trouble, times of sorrow, times of immense pain. But one day, the Lord will turn that sorrow into joy. Look, he says, for joy that a man is born into the world. Verse 22, he goes on and says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Now you have sorrow. You see it? Jesus said, I will see you again. We're going to see our Savior face to face. Amen. The pain that we have from sickness, the pain that we have from sorrow, the pain that we have from death, it's all going to vanish away. Amen. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Amen. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father, in my name he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. He says, right now I want you to pray, and I want you to pray in my name to the Heavenly Father, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to give you joy right now. But in that day, you're not going to have to ask anything, because you're going to be with me forever. Aren't you glad he gives joy now? John 15:11, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. Do you have joy in your heart tonight? Amen. Do you have joy in your heart on Monday morning? Amen. See, I think we're so programmed as Americans today that Monday is that dreaded day of the week, and going to work, and it's all horrible, and we're longing for Friday. But friends, our joy doesn't come from being off work. Our joy doesn't come from being able to do our hobbies. Our joy doesn't come because we get to do the things that we like. Our joy comes from right inside here, where the Holy Spirit of God is. Our joy is from inside, and it's not dictated on by our circumstances, and it's certainly not to be taken away from us by any person. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And he provides that joy. In the world today, there's great perversion of justice, but there's also the provision of God. Amen. And he's going to watch over us, and he's going to protect us, and he's going to provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. And he alone is going to give us joy way deep down in our soul.
Do you have some oppression in your life? Suffering some injustice? Is your heart not right? Are you loving things and money and anything else more than Christ? If so, forgiveness is available. Help is available if we would turn to the Lord. Amen. All of this provision, all of this joy, all of this oversight that God has only helps a person if that person's faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, none of this is going to help you. He sends his angels to watch over his own. And so you must repent. You must put your faith in Jesus. Because joy is coming for those who trust in Christ. But judgment, eternal judgment, is coming for those who reject his Son. Amen. If you've never trusted him, I pray you will today. If you have trusted him, I pray you'll follow him in whatever he leads you to do. As we stand together, we're going to get ready to sing. Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, any decision that you need to make for Christ. Did you get real with the Lord tonight? Do what he's calling you to do.
Page 560.
Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You come.